Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the Apostles' Creed, you literally just confessed that you believe in Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. All things that we just heard from our readings for this evening, but what does it mean? What does it mean for Jesus to go into heaven? What does it mean for him to be at God's right hand? Why does he remove his physical presence from his church? Well, God's word tells us. Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. It was for your blessing. Today we celebrate the gift of the ascension. In the ascension, it marks both an end and a new beginning. On the one hand, it is the end of what we know as Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus will not be seen on the earth in his physical human body again until he comes again on the last day. But on the other hand, it is a beginning, because it is the beginning of the time when Jesus would send his apostles to take the message of the gospel, everything that Jesus accomplished through his life, his death, his resurrection, in fact, all of the ways in which Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. This message is supposed to go out to the ends of the earth, to all nations. And so why is it so important that Jesus removes his physical appearance from us? Well, we live in such a time where the message of Jesus is being proclaimed around the globe. That's pretty cool. We're part of an organization that God has created that has no barriers to language and has no barriers to time. We are united with a church that has existed for 2,000 years, and that's a pretty amazing thing. God established this church, and in fact, he's given us the same exact thing to do that he gave the apostles to do. Receive the Holy Spirit, which you have when faith was created within you, and then to proclaim that faith to all of those around you. You see, I know the message of salvation has reached your ears at some point in your life. Otherwise, why would you be here? Jesus is the Son of God who was humbled to be born of a virgin. He took on human flesh. He was born under the law. He fulfills the law. He lives a perfect life. He goes to the cross where he lays that life down so he can shed his blood and die. That's the gospel. You've heard it before. You know it well. You believe it wholeheartedly. And what's more is that you also believe that Jesus was raised, that Jesus is a conquering king who rightly belongs in heaven. This is the message that goes forth. And if you've heard it, it means you've had to have heard it from somebody else. And if somebody else heard it, who then spoke it to you, it means they had to hear it from someone else. And the church has expanded this way all down the line ever since Jesus ascended into heaven. And this is where we're going to use our imaginations for a moment. Suppose Jesus doesn't leave. What if he never ascended into heaven? What if he was still, say, like, he'd take a tour, right? So he wouldn't just stay in Israel because the gospel's for the Gentiles as well. Say he's touring somewhere in Africa right now. I'm not going to be here. As much as I love preaching the gospel and telling people about Jesus, I'm not going to be in central Illinois. I'm going to be wherever Jesus is. I'm going to follow him around like his disciples did when he was still around on this earth. And honestly, I would kind of expect all Christians to desire to be in their Lord's presence. And so the gospel would not go out to the entire globe. All nations would not be hearing about Jesus because we'd be too busy following him and trying to learn from his preaching. Because honestly, if we're going to be really honest, his preaching is way better than mine. True story. Now, the gospel would be located locally. That is, wherever Jesus was. And so as the disciples watch Jesus physically ascend, they do it with joy. They do it as he blesses them. Because they know that Jesus never actually left. We'll get back to that in a second. Because before we can talk about that, we also have to talk about the other reason Jesus ascends. It's not simply said the gospel can go out over the entire nation, but how does Jesus do this? It's by sitting at God's right hand. And quite often, a lot of Christians get this wrong because they think that the right hand of God is a physical location somewhere in heaven. That somehow, because Jesus ascended into heaven, now he is somehow confined there to like stand right next to the Father for all eternity or something. But that's not what the right hand is. It's not a physical place. It's a place of power. That's what the right hand... You ever hear somebody called your right-hand man? Right? It means it's the person that you rely on, the person that you trust, the person that you entrust important tasks with. It is a place of honor. And when Jesus sits at God's right hand, what it really means is that all of God's power, all that omnipotence, right, and all of that omnipresence that God has, now Jesus gets to exercise that because he is rightly part of the Godhead. And this is a great gift too. Jesus fills both all of the heavens and all of the earth, that way he might rule his church in power. And so you know what? He's here, Jesus, right now. He's visiting you through his word. Words you heard from the lectern, words we just prayed and confessed as we reflected on the catechism, words you're hearing in a sermon. If it's about Jesus, you can be certain that Jesus is with you. And in fact, Jesus himself made as much of a promise. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. And so Jesus is here. And you know what? There's one other church in our circuit of the 13 churches who also have an ascension service. We're one of two in our circuit. And you know what? Jesus is with them too. And on Sunday morning, Jesus can be here, and he can be in Chestnut, and he can be in Lincoln, and he can be in Atlanta. He could be all over the place. Wherever God's word is being proclaimed, that is where Jesus is. Because he has God's power. Because the Holy Spirit brings him into your midst. And in fact, Jesus is even halfway across the world with the people in Africa and Asia and Europe and Central America, Southern America. Jesus is in the waters of baptism. Every time the water is placed on someone's head in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and he connects those people into his death and resurrection. Jesus is with us every time we have the Lord's Supper. He visits us with his body and blood that are distributed according to his institution. And in fact, what else did he promise his disciples but that he'd be with them always to the very end of the age? Jesus is always with you. And he's always with me. And he's always with his people. Whether it's in times of suffering and pain or times of joy and happiness, he can be everywhere. Why? Because he is God. He no longer has to live as a humble human being as you and I are, but now he can express all of God's power. And that's for your good. You understand what this means, though. And this is where I said we're going to get back to it. Jesus leaves, right? He takes his physical form away from us. And then he fills the heavens and the earth, and he has all of this power. And this is why the disciples are able to go back to Jerusalem with joy. You know, I always think like when you're leaving somebody that you love and you don't know when you're going to see them next, and like the tears and the sadness, and like it's hard to go, it's hard to part ways because you don't know when you will next see them. But that's not what the disciples do. They have joy because they know Jesus will never actually leave them. Even if they can't see him, he will be with them even more than he could before. That's why they don't mourn the loss of Jesus, and instead they rejoice. And that's why we rejoice today too. My friends, if there was ever a time when Jesus was present, it's in the time when you hear the proclamation of your sins forgiven. And that's what Jesus does for you today. He comes to you with these words, words that he has sent by the power of his Holy Spirit straight from the right hand of God the Father into your ears. Because he has died and risen and ascended, you are forgiven. And one day, too, you will join him in heaven. You will be with him for all eternity. And so if Jesus' great power is poured out to us in these ways, let's take every opportunity to worship him with joy as the Savior that we can't see with our eyes, but who remains with us always in his word and sacraments. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.